Hey, everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we have a very special bonus episode for you today. In the past three seasons, we've had an email from Benny sent to us that had a by the numbers with all of our stats from the season. And we thought, instead of that, let's just get Benny here to explain it so it's not just two idiots looking at numbers and going, wow, great numbers. So Benny, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Benny, I got one question. I have a couple questions because you are a guest on, I think you're only the second time we've ever had a guest not on a proper episode. So I don't know if we do our normal questions, but how'd you get into Power Rangers?
I was in first grade when Mighty Morphin Power Rangers came out.
That tracks.
Yeah, that'll get you there.
That'll do it. That seems to be the going reason is like you were a certain age during when the first season aired.
You were the target market when it started.
Yeah. Yep. Who is your favorite Ranger? Is that only do we only do up through the stuff we've seen usually?
Only through the stuff that you've seen so far.
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, I was thinking of this earlier because I knew you were going to ask me. I guess Adam.
Okay.
Nice, good pick. Solid pick. He's the best one. So.
Well, he's good. He's all right.
He beat Tommy in a sparring match.
He did. And I think he had to do a tie with Jason. I don't think they wanted to call that the cowards, but
I could just go for a whole episode of them fighting.
That'd be great. What is your favorite season just in general?
It's either Jungle Fury or Dino Charge. I don't know at this point.
Okay.
Does that include Super Dino Charge or only Vanilla?
Yeah, I don't bother with the Nickelodeon differentiating between those two seasons.
Okay, like good.
It's Dino Charge, Mega Force, and Ninja Steel to me.
Okay, good. Yeah, I know. I see what Nick's trying to do. Right, they're trying to be like new toys, but like it's just still Dino Charge. Like it's this, come on.
But this one has more spikes on it.
Well,
now they all have spike pad. They're all the Road Warriors.
I don't know if we have any other questions, but I do have one question. One more question. Benny, are you going to be cool? Are you going to try to like give us some math that's going to spiral us out of control?
I think we're going to be good, but I'm actually really excited to have finally completed step one in my master plan.
Okay. Which is push us to the brink. Get on the show. Okay. Just get your foot in the door.
I have a piggyback question to that, I think. And we may have asked this and got an answer via email, or we may not have. I don't remember. But what on earth compelled you to take these abstract ideas of what we liked in the episode and put numbers to it?
So it's part of, I guess, my Power Ranger story. So I'm one of those people who went away after a while and stopped watching Power Rangers. And I came back to watching Power Rangers when I was in grad school, because it was such a stressful time period that apparently my brain reverted back to like being a kid.
Yeah.
So I got back into Pokemon and Power Rangers.
Good picks. Solid nice. Picks.
Yeah. You guys, your podcasts work for me.
Yeah, good. You are our target demographic.
Got him.
So I was taking like statistic classes at a master's level and listening to the show and kind of being like, oh, like you could assign numbers to these things. And then like, oh, what would this data tell us about all of this stuff? Because that's the way my brain has now been wired to work.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what happened. And I love Excel. Like I am such a nerd. I love making Excel files.
That's crazy to me. I've only ever used Excel or anything like it to keep track of wrestling stats in video games.
Oh yeah, but Benny's the nerd.
I never straight up said he was a nerd. I was just wondering where compelled him to make all of this.
While we're
numbers.
Talking about our deep dark Excel spreadsheet secrets, let me reach into my closet and pull out my favorite skeleton. I used to be like straight up obsessed with television, and I would have Excel spreadsheets of like the TV schedule of like what I am watching on what day, when, and like what I could DVR. Once I got a DVR, there's a whole separate thing that I got to put in. It was bad. So I get the appeal of Excel, though.
We all have our Excel demons. Yes.
Benny just accepts his more than we do, I guess.
Sharing mine with the world now.
Yeah. So where should we start?
I guess we'll start with something familiar. We'll start with the season rankings, which is something that I've done in the previous emails.
Okay, yes.
So if you're new here, the way this works is that...
Benny, I came here to have a good time. No, it's my favorite. Time.
Let him do it. He's a guest.
I'm honestly feeling so attacked right now.
Good. Oh. You guys do remember my brand is villain, right?
It's straight up villain.
I had forgotten that.
If we didn't already have a public frenemy number one, he'd be in the running. But he has gone past frenemy just right to antagonist, I think, at this point.
Yeah, no. I respect Corbin way too much to take that title. Like, no, yeah. No. I shot for a different goal. So the way the season rankings work is that I listen to an episode and basically assess Jake and Josh's feelings on the episode and then give it a number value. I've recently changed the wording that I use for it. So it's bad, okay, good, or an amazing episode.
Oh, amazing.
Amazing. That is purely because I hated having to type in GR into the Excel document in order for it to auto-populate.
And have to go
great.
Down to go, okay. Tell them about that efficiency.
Yeah. Now I just have to type A and we're fine.
Nice.
And then I changed neutral to okay because neutral just didn't fit the rest of the language.
Sure.
Like, you guys never say that an episode is neutral. You might say an episode is great, and sometimes you'll say it's good or you know, it was fine.
If we say an episode is neutral, that usually means it was kind of a bad episode.
And so that corresponds to -1, 0, 1, and 2 points. Then we total up the points and divide it by the number of episodes to get a value that is points per episode.
All right. So, and then for the season rankings, you just take up the aggregate score.
Yep.
Compared to the other season. So where does this season land? I think I might know.
well, let's, I'll go through what we had already before. So our number one was In Space with 0.74. Our Zio was with, I'll just say 72 and just, it's a 0.72, but it's 72, and Turbo was third with 29.
Oh, that's a big gap.
Yeah, that's very far.
And that's mostly me trying to drag it out of the gutter because I just have a soft spot for it.
And I try to be really positive with it too because it's me interpreting other people's feelings and trying to give a value to it. So it's so nebulous.
Yeah.
Where do you guys think Lost Galaxy falls?
I'm gonna above Turbo.
I don't think it does. I think it goes. I think it's pretty close to Turbo, but I think it's right below it. There's a lot of stinkers in there in the middle part of Lost Galaxy.
So Lost Galaxy is coming in at number 3 above Turbo with 47.
That's a lot more than I was expecting.
Yeah.
I get, you know what? Maybe just the bads just stuck in my head more than the goods did.
That could be.
I'm looking, because you said it's the Google Doc, and I'm looking at it now, and there's not as many bads as I thought there was.
One of the columns in the database is notes, and it's just like random stuff that I write down. And if you go to Turbo, you can see every time that you guys bring up YorkieCast, or, I mean, like, like, I think you guys are really reflecting back on Turbo a little bit more positively now that it's like a couple of seasons out.
That's true. The first half is so bad, and then the second half I enjoy, but I can recognize it as being bad. And then there's that one episode that by the time this airs, Ranger Danger will, I think their episode is coming out this Wednesday on the Double Invisible episode. So if you guys want to hear two different people freak out about how bad Double Invisible is, you can check that out. I tried to warn them, and I was like, it doesn't matter. You still have to watch it, but like, I'm so sorry. It's the worst.
Yeah. Turbo was actually my introduction to the Morphin Grid. That was the first season of yours that I listened to.
Glad you started out on a high point then.
Thanks for sticking around.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that really colored my relationship with the show that I really enjoy listening to the psychological damage that this can inflict on you all.
Look, we love Power Rangers, but sometimes Power Rangers doesn't love us back. I'm actually going to Turbo right now so I can check out the...
There's a lot of negative ones in there.
Just see how many Yorkie casts we try to
there's
do.
There's one run of like one, two, five three. Or six.
Oh boy,
row.
there's a big block of Yorkies there.
And the something easy to do when you've got like a database like this is to create graphs and stuff. And so like in the actual Excel document that I have, it's not on the Google Drive, but in the actual thing, I've like plotted out the lines of the season. I think I sent it to you guys one time.
I think so.
But it is interesting to watch like the general shape of a season, like if it ends really high, but it's mostly low a lot of the time. So it's, you know, if you guys get your website in order, I can start sending you guys content of like visual things to go along with the Morphin Grid by the Number.
Yeah, Josh.
We need a person to run that. We do. I can make it, but I can't maintain. I don't have the drive to do that.
I just don't have the time or the technical know-how. So
you guys can get an intern, so I'm sure.
Oh, people have offered, and I'm like, I don't know what I would have an intern do. Like, honestly, because I'm such a control freak. I'd be like, okay, you're an intern, but don't touch anything, please. I'm trying to think of, like, how I can word this. Can you tell the shape of a season? Can you kind of, like, see how the numbers are going to end up as you are plotting them? Like, can you kind of see the graph in your head as you put them down?
No, not really.
Okay, that might be for the best.
Yeah, I'm not quite to that level. It is...
Give it time.
It is fascinating to see. And there was... I tweeted a couple of weeks ago that... Lost Galaxy had reached a point where no matter what score it was still going to be third place.
That, really?
Yeah, like I figured out the numbers. Even if every episode from that point forward was amazing, it still would have been third. If everything was bad, it still would have been third. So it was really interesting. And I think that's because there's such a huge gap between Zio and Turbo that it was hard not to fall outside of that.
Right. I feel bad for Turbo now. Looking at the raw data, I just feel real bad for Turbo. It deserved better.
Look, we're running into what? SPD next?
Oh, or God,
no. Light Speed Rescue.
I am always going to say those two wrong. I'm always going to say SPD when I mean Light Speed Rescue.
Well, I'm very excited for SPD, and I'm not very excited for Light Speed Rescue.
Well, from what I've heard, Light Speed is kind of like a boring season. Yes. So it's going to be interesting to see how that fares against the cartoonish goofiness of Turbo.
Yeah.
I have a big soft spot for Lightspeed Rescue just because I like Chad so much, the Blue Ranger. If you guys are having guests next season, I know you said you want a lot of them. There's two episodes that I would love to come on.
I don't know. You definitely said there's an episode you like to guest on, and I was like, yes, absolutely. And next year, we do want to have them because our schedules have kind of evened out. Hopefully, they don't get crazy again. It got buck wild this year this season.
Just because this season fell through the holiday.
Yeah, which is nightmare times. absolutely, if you want to guest on that. I'm very excited to see it because I know I watched a little bit of Lightspeed Rescue. But I cannot tell you a single thing that happens other than there was a big demon Furby baby.
Oh, no.
And that's it. Like that. No. And there was a Silver Ranger, but he was American only, I think.
Why can't Power Rangers just leave the Furbies alone?
They just love a Furby. They were real hot in 2000.
Yeah, you guys seem to really lean towards the villains. And I'm super curious for Lightspeed Rescue because I don't remember any of the villains from that season.
I've never seen it. I'm going in completely fresh on this one. So,
I watched the Time Force pretty recently, like a year and change ago, and there was like the crossover episode, and I think the villains were in it, but they were so unremarkable that I don't really remember. So,
yeah,
gonna be a good time. Anyway, so what is next? What's up next?
I do want to talk a little bit about the ranking that you guys introduced this year.
Okay, yeah.
So there's not anything I can actually do with those numbers, but what I realized we could do is compare it to the scores that I give for each episode and see how well that matches up.
Okay.
And it turned out to be, I mean, pretty accurate.
Okay.
I mean, the top three episodes are the three amazing episodes. All of the bottom episodes are just bad episodes. And then you...
Oh, good. That means we didn't mess up.
Yeah. When we were ranking that, like, there was points where we were like, I don't remember this episode, so we're going to rank it below this other one.
And then, like, from the top three episodes, it does go down mostly what you would expect. It's mostly good, and then you get into the okay episodes, and then you get to the bad episodes. And there are overlap points where some okay episodes are above a good episode and some bad episodes are above an okay episode. So there's like those border areas. So it was really interesting to finally actually see the comparison.
Yeah, just the kind of consistency everyone's come to expect from us here at the Morphin Grid.
And I mean, it is a little bit different because like each individual episode gets a score, but the two-parters are all the same rank. So like those usually end up being different scores. Right. So I know there's at least one bad episode that's really high up because its partner lifted it up in the rankings.
Right. Definitely the finale, I think. Mm-hmm. Probably happened too, because that last one was kind of a dud after two really good episodes.
Anchor, yeah.
Yeah. I think the last one was okay, but they're overall like the seventh or whatever in the rankings. So yeah, that was a little different. Yeah. I know Silent Sleep was a good episode, but it was ranked pretty low. Grunchor on the Loose was the highest ranked bad episode.
Okay.
That's interesting. Yeah. I don't know what to do with that information, but that's very interesting.
It makes a lot of sense to me just because like when we're ranking it, especially because like we introduced the rankings, you know, on the fly 7 or 8 episodes in, and we're like,
Yeah, you literally caught me by surprise during the episode. Yeah. Like, hey, Josh, we're going to do this new thing. Like, oh.
Yeah. In case you guys were wondering what our production meetings are like, it's...
on air, usually.
It's usually on air. or it's, hey, are we recording tonight? Yeah. 6:30? Okay. That's it. but I was like... there were some points where we were ranking them where I'm like, I can't remember why we ranked this episode here, but I know why I want to rank this episode we're currently talking about here. Because the problem with doing two episodes a week and, you know, like the way we record is that as soon as I am done recording, I dump my memory files of that episode and I don't remember it until I edit it. And then it only like a fraction hangs on. So a lot of things just don't stick, especially like 10 episodes out. So there was some points where I was like, I know that we are going to rank things. Some are just going to be way weird. Like, we're going to be like, that episode was bad, but it's like above two good episodes. But I'm glad we're pretty consistent.
And I will say, this was probably the hardest season so far to score. That, like, I got better as we went on, but the very beginning, it was hard to figure out how you guys felt about an episode. So the rankings actually really helped to make me go back and double check a couple of episodes. And I ended up changing a couple of scores because I gave it a second listen.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I also don't know how I felt about a lot of episodes this season.
Yeah,
so
it wasn't just hard for you to figure it out. It was hard for us as well.
Yeah. Anything else on the list that we did? Is there anything we can do next year to improve that?
Improve it how?
I don't know.
Do you want us to just straight up say if it's bad, okay, good, or amazing?
Would that throw off the curve, I think?
It would make it really easy for me. I don't know if it would be as authentic.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, that's completely up to you guys. Like, sometimes you use that language just naturally talking about the episode.
Right.
I will say, it's sometimes really hard to figure out if an episode is just okay because you don't use any language. You're like, an episode.
that's the other trick with I think having done the show for 4 years now is that like we've gotten to a point where like we zone in on the stuff we liked or the stuff we didn't like and the stuff that was just okay or that we didn't like attach to in any way just falls right out of our heads and we don't really talk about. So yeah, I can see okay as being kind of the trickiest one to judge.
Yeah.
I'm looking at some of the, I forgot a lot of names. I forgot we named one Chotsy. Not sure why we did that. Oh, I love
We probably said Chotsy at some point.
Oh, probably. Oh, that was the Memories of Mirinoi. Yeah, they were playing Space Yahtzee. I don't remember why it got to Chotsy, but also, I Love My Big Bronze Dad is probably my favorite episode title of the season.
I kind of want to take the episode titles and some of the best and worst and turn them into like a Cards Against Humanity type game.
Okay.
Where it's like fill in the blank and it's, you know, the name of my autobiography is My Big Bronze Robot Dad or whatever it was.
I Love My Big Bronze Dad. Loyax is so good.
Yeah.
He was the best. So now do we want to move on to character rankings or you got anything else before then?
I'll talk about the categories next, which is something new. But I do want to say that this is something that we could go back to Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and actually give them a season score too.
Okay.
It just requires somebody going back and listening to all those episodes and assigning a score value, and I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. You literally, there is an amount of money you could pay me, but it is $750, and I will not listen to anything from season one for a penny less than that. If you are listening to season one now, anybody listening, God bless you. Thanks for sticking around, because it was, you know, we were babies. We were idiot babies.
Stay tuned in 12 years when we're out of Power Rangers. We just do season one again.
Oh, no, it's less than that.
8 years.
It's 8 years. Yeah, we have the guy who gave us the numbers on the call.
You're right.
I can tell you.
I'm accounting for a lot of sick days.
I am too. So yeah, if anybody hasn't listened to Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the Morphin Grid yet, and wants to help with this project, we can get all of the episodes into this ranking. The only way we could do for the Rangers is if you guys actually went back and gave a best, worst, and MVP to all of the Mighty Morphin episodes.
Oh, what, $1,500 Patreon goal?
Yeah, well, that's $750 apiece, right?
Yeah. Oh, that would be so different. One of the things we joked about is once we finish is we just do a lap and we just start over.
Makes sense.
And like that would be pretty fun, but I feel like people would then be like, "Oh, the first time you talked about this episode, you didn't like these things, and this time you did like these things." And
I'd
be
well,
like, it's not worth it. We're gonna stop
10 years
now.
Ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're very different people.
We are entirely different. We don't have any of the same molecules as those people. Oh boy. So what were we talking about?
All right. So the next thing is something I mentioned it probably in the very first email, but I didn't go into it because I didn't have enough data to say anything about it.
Okay.
And that is the categories that the best and the worst fall into.
Okay.
And so what I've done is I figured out there's 7 general categories that I can put any of them into.
Okay.
And then I totaled how many times it shows up as the best and how many times this category shows up as the worst.
Okay.
And it actually ends up being really interesting, and you can see the like characteristics of one season versus a different season, or the whole shape of a Power Rangers season.
This is a crazy deep dive into so, my psyche that right? I'm not ready for.
So what are so Benny? What are we really into? I guess.
All right. So our first 3 categories are all people related. The first one is Ranger. So that's.
Okay.
Stuff that an individual or a group of Power Rangers do. And like, Billy doesn't count as a ranger for the purpose of this category. Like, in Zeo, he wasn't a ranger.
Right.
He falls into the next category, which is support.
Okay.
So that's all of the non-evil characters that aren't Power Rangers.
Okay, yeah, your Bulks, your Skulls, your Lieutenant Stones.
The Zords count in this category as well.
Okay, cool.
I forgot all about Lieutenant Stone.
I never forget
I
about
I don't know how that happened.
I will never forget about Lieutenant Jerome Stone. Sometimes I literally just think about the Monster Movie episode and how he was Burgermeister Meisterburger for a little while, and like that's just like what I do for a day is just think about that.
That's terrifying.
It's a mess up here.
And then the third category of people is, of course, the villains.
A lot of good ones recently.
Which you've already said we tend to lean towards.
We'll get into that. and so, and like for this, anything that Carone did for In Space still counted as a villain, because for that whole season, she was basically Astronema filling the role of a villain.
Right.
So people don't switch what categories they count for within a single season.
Okay. Just to keep the numbers straight. Yeah.
Then our next two are relationships. The first one is battle. So that's violence between two or more people.
Heck yeah.
And I'll say I did not track who said what best and who said what worst. If somebody else wants to go back through and listen and figure that out, we'll put it in the database. I'm not doing it. But I will say I distinctly remember Josh saying that a battle is the best more often than Jake.
That tracks.
I'm here for the fights.
I think that makes more sense.
I like the fights.
I'm here for them, I don't know, like being friends. And again, this is going to come up a lot in Time Force, just like getting close to kissing, but not. I don't know why they just like, I don't know why Saban hates kissing.
Well, that would fall into the next category, which is just titled interaction. And that's going to be the non-violent stuff between two or more characters.
Okay.
And I will say sparring counts as an interaction and not as battle for these purposes.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
You're not trying to defeat somebody. You're just honing your skills.
You're just having a spar.
The last two categories that we're talking about are story and production.
Okay.
So story is obviously the writing and the plot of an episode, and then production is like everything else that goes into making an episode. The acting, the wardrobe, the thing that really sticks out in my mind for production was, I think one time a monster suit got thrown off the side of the building and they filmed that as the monster falling.
Yeah.
That counts as a production best.
That makes sense. I feel like I probably do a lot more of those than you do.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, that's one of the ways I get through Power Rangers now is like trying to figure out the math behind it, because it was such a buck wild. I don't know how they made this show.
And then there's another like catch-all stuff that just doesn't fit into this one that I don't bother tracking, because it's normally not actually a best or a worst. It's just something that you guys say in replace of a best or a worst.
Okay.
So that's in the database that I still track it. It just doesn't, it's not actually counted in this stuff.
Okay.
So what we can do is we actually see like a general overall trend across these four seasons. The first thing is that the most frequently cited best is going to be a ranger, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you would hope so, right? Like,
and the thing that gets usually the thing that gets cited the most is the worst is the story.
That also tracks, I think.
That also tracks, but you'd hope it would be different.
Yeah. And I will say the second most frequent worst are still the Rangers.
The numbers are on their side for any given category, really, because there's so many of them compared to everybody else.
Right. And I mean, on a show that's called Power Rangers, the focus should probably be on the Rangers, and the numbers track.
Yeah, for good or ill.
The other... A fairly consistent trend that we see is with interactions and battles. As far as the worst side, no interaction was ever called out for being the worst.
Really?
Wow.
And
so we've never been like, I don't even have an example. I guess that makes sense.
And I think part of it has to do with the language around it, and it's very much how you guys phrase things. So I think My hypothesis is that when you guys are focusing on like the bad interaction between two people, you focus on the one person who's doing something bad, like Phantom Ranger and Cassie and their really screwed up relationship.
Yeah.
You guys put that on the Phantom Ranger.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, he is completely to blame for all that. So that's the worst.
That's why Kai videotaping a girl at the skating rink is on Kai and not the relationship.
Right.
Or the interaction.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then battles is a little bit is similar. Of the four seasons of Power Rangers that we've done this with so far, a battle has been the worst three times. So that's less than one per season.
That's crazy. Do you happen to know what those are off the top of your head?
No. I mean, I can look it up in the database, but
I bet if I was a betting man,
okay,
I would guess all three of them are crappy Zord fights.
Probably.
I think the one in Lost Galaxy was a crappy Zord fight. I think in space it had something to do with fighting, like, in space on those boards might have been it.
Oh,
gosh, yeah.
In space did a lot of weird space stuff.
So there, the worst, there's one in Turbo, because I just went up to the top, or I guess one in Zeo, just like worst category. So there's one in Zeo. I'm not going to scroll through this whole thing trying to find it. But yeah, if there's only three, that's pretty impressive that either A, the battles were mostly fine, or B, there was something worse than a bad battle in any given episode.
Yeah, that's definitely something to remember with this, is it's what was the best, not necessarily what was the only good thing, or you know, there weren't other good things in it. It was just what was the thing that came to the very top of your mind in that moment.
Yeah.
And so what we can do now is kind of go into each individual season and see how it differs from the others. And I was trying to think of a way to make this entertaining. And it finally, I landed on imagining what if a season of Power Ranger was a teen with attitude in an English class.
Okay.
So.
All right. You've got my attention.
So we're over the next couple of years, slowly going to fill out this English class with more and more students. But currently we have four of them.
Everyone's still trickling in. The bell hasn't rung yet. These are just the first four kids.
So our first one, Zeo. So Zeo is a very social butterfly. They love talking with their friends.
I love this already.
they love talking with their friends, but they do it so much that they're actually failing this English class.
Mrs. Appleby's disappointed in Zeo.
So the way that works is the Rangers had the most best this season with 20, which is fairly consistent. This is the one season where the story doesn't have the most worst. It's instead the support characters. So they had 20 mentions as the worst.
That's a lot. That's got to be a lot on Zordon, right?
Oh, probably.
Yeah, probably.
That was peak bad Zordon.
I'm excited to like go through this table once we're done recording and just like look at all the things we have talked about over the years that I have just plumb forgot.
I will say, in defense of the support characters, they were also the second most best for this season with 15 times they were mentioned.
Okay.
So we talked about interactions as a category. Interactions has been mentioned across all four seasons 22 times.
Okay.
Of that, 13 of them show up in Zeo.
Wow. I can't even imagine what half of them are. The only one that comes to my mind is Rocky and I don't remember the name of the blind girl in that one episode. But I know that that was probably my favorite part of that episode was her being like, I'm not going to take your guff, thanks.
Well, then there's also Kat and Tommy and King for a Day.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah, I remember. I'm pretty sure Kat's one interaction point that she got was for, I think, holding hands with Tommy at the end. But like that episode you're talking about, I probably gave that best to the support character, to the Rocky's not girlfriend.
Yeah.
So again, it's very much about the language that you guys use, but this was the season where you talked a lot more about the interactions, which I'll talk about a little bit more in depth after we get through this part, because it has to deal with some changes that I've made.
So who's our next student then?
Well, finishing up Zeo.
For Zeo, okay.
This was the lowest for story best and worst. It only got a story best 3 times, and it only got a story worst 16 times.
Only got a story worst 16 all. Times. What a good season it sounds like.
This does kind of confirm, though, because when we started watching Power Rangers again before this podcast, if you can even remember a time.
Not really.
And we made it all the way through in space, and I remember us talking and saying, because I still think Zio is my favorite season, and In Space was yours. And we came to the conclusion that In Space is a better season overall, whereas Zio has better episodes. So I think this data kind of supports that.
I think the other thing that it kind of shows is that, and this is going to sound weird, that Zio was the last good Power Rangers season. Because In Space is not necessarily the way Power Rangers had been set up to that point. Like, because it was like a one long story. It was like, it's like a whole new kind of way to tell a Power Rangers story. So, like, I can see that being like separate, but maybe like overall the season is better. And then going back, being like, but Zio was really good Power Rangers stuff, like the whole way through.
I would agree with that. If you look at the categories between Zio and Turbo, they're pretty similar. Like, I'm about to talk about the difference with Turbo, but it did, when I was looking at this, like, Zio and Turbo did seem to be like more standard Power Ranger seasons, and then In Space and Lost Galaxy are much more, are a different shape.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to see what kind of teen Turbo is.
So
it's just going to be me. You're just going to end up describing me, and I'm going to feel bad.
So Turbo is the awkward middle child.
Okay, I'm an older brother. I'm out. All right, good. We got past it.
Now they do have a really good heart. They're super good at making dioramas. And so they're passing the class decently, with like making posters. Like, they're really good at making posters and dioramas and things like that.
Okay, they're good at projects.
And while they probably don't want to fight, if they are, they're not going to hold back.
Okay.
So, what that actually means is that this was the season with the highest number of Rangers getting the best, which was 24.
A lot of times in Turbo, we had to, like,
there was not a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, you'd have to, like, really dig for it. And I think sometimes in Turbo, we were just like, what was the best? I don't know. TJ?
Adam's still here, yeah. So that.
Yeah. I that was definitely the hypothesis I had, was that in a season where there's not really a whole lot of good stuff going on, you guys lean a little bit more towards the Rangers as the best part.
Yeah.
This was the season with the lowest mention of production worst, which was one.
Okay.
It is also the only season without a battle worst.
All right.
And for everything else, it either ties with another season or it's just in the middle of the pack.
Okay, poor Terp.
Solid C+ student.
Yeah. Yep. I think you ended up describing me mostly. So.
good. We can make a personality quiz after this.
Yeah, which Power Rangers season are you?
So our next one for In Space, this is the evil loner kid who likes to write a lot of dark novellas. They're getting an A+ in this class.
Okay. Sure.
Probably surprising no one, this is the season where villains reign supreme.
Yes, well, my baby's there, so yeah.
It's the only season where Rangers are not the most mentioned for best. And at 25 mentions, it is the highest number of mentions for any category in any season.
Wow. Okay, that's got to be, I would say, 95% Astronema.
We got Astronema, Ecliptor, and Darkonda.
Clippy did a lot of good work, too.
Darkonda's no slouch.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the only bad villain is Dark Spectre.
Dark Spectre.
Yeah.
Just a giant floating dirt in space. That guy sucked.
And then it also has the highest best for story, so it got mentioned 10 times as the best part of the episode. Story was also still the highest worst with 18 mentions, but that follows the trend of most of the other seasons, that the story is still going to end up being mentioned a lot as the worst.
Right.
It has the lowest best for support and for battle, with only 4 mentions as support is the best and 2 mentions of battle is the best.
Okay, so then Lost Galaxy didn't get any battle points then, if I'm doing my math right.
No, I think there was at least one fight scene that was super rad in Lost Galaxy. I don't know, maybe we didn't best it,
though. We might not have best it, because he said there was 4 battles and 3 battles.
That was for the worst.
Oh, for the worst. Yeah. Okay.
Battle only gets mentioned as a worst 3 times. Battle gets mentioned as a best quite a few times.
Probably a lot. Okay, all right. That makes more sense.
And actually, that leads straight into discussing Lost Galaxy, which my description of it is the muscles. this guy likes to punch first, and he just doesn't bother asking questions later.
That sounds exactly like Lost Galaxy.
I don't even have a grade for him. That this season has the lowest number of supports being mentioned as the worst, and part of that I think is because there just aren't a lot of support characters, and they don't really do a lot.
There's,
Commander showed up 3 times.
Yeah,
and then there's the commander and Alpha.
Yeah,
Deka, but she's only an OS at this point. She's not and a personality.
And then
Deka
just straight up disappears once the other Rangers come back, and Andros puts on a 3.5-inch floppy and flies back to Earth.
Downloads her to his BlackBerry.
And there aren't a lot of like one shot characters this season.
No, that's true. It was really focused on the Rangers for a lot of it, and even then focus in on 2 Rangers at a time.
Yeah, but never together.
this was also the season with the highest number of times that the Rangers got the worst.
That's Leo's fault.
Well, we'll talk about it. Let me double check. Oh yeah, so every other season, the Rangers were mentioned as the worst 17 times.
Okay.
Total between all the other seasons?
No, each season was 17 mentions. For some reason, it was the exact same every single season.
Okay. That's crazy.
That's very weird.
Lost Galaxy ended up being 19 mentions of the Rangers as the worst.
Okay.
This also had the highest number of stories getting the worst with 24.
Yeah. Oh, I don't doubt that for a second.
Nope. Yeah, it was not surprising. And, part of the reason that Lost Galaxy is the punchy boy is that it has the highest number of bests for battle with 11 mentions.
Yeah, that also tracks. There was a lot of really good battles in this season.
And weirdly enough, it ties evenly with Zio for production mentions on both best and worst, with 7 times it was the best and 6 times it was the worst in both seasons. Just a weird quirk.
Okay, I wonder what that says about us. Like, if I know, like, you would need to get like a psychologist to look at this and be like, what's up with these two?
At some point, it would be interesting to look at the difference between totals to try to get a sense of agreement and disagreement between the two of you in any given season. But right now, looking at it, I can't tell you anything about these 4 seasons. Like it there's nothing really, like, when you try to compare the number of episodes to like the number of times there's a best or a worst, like I can't see any real like any distinct thing to it. And I think in Zio you guys were purposely trying to have different bests and worsts, if I'm remembering that correctly, and then you gave that up at some point.
I think so, yeah. Well, you hit turbo and you're like, what's the worst? It's clearly this bad thing. So it's like, all right, well, that's the worst.
Yeah.
I still try to, like, but a lot of times
it's pretty cut. There's a
right answer.
In Lost Galaxy especially, there's only so much to choose from.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's looking at the categories.
Okay, very interesting. I'm very excited to see this anthropomorphized Power Rangers season CW show that we are creating.
If anybody out there wants to draw these students.
Oh god, yes, please.
I'm very curious, because when I pictured Lost Galaxy, I pictured Jason in his red tank top and black karate pants.
I
kind of
did too. I don't think it's fair that Jason has to be Lost Galaxy.
Well, no, but he's, I don't know, he said punchy boy, and I was like, oh, Jason punched in his karate gear a lot.
He is a punchy boy.
I will briefly mention that I'm looking at this, but I don't have any actual, like, important or interesting data to say it at this point. But I'm also kind of, in the database, I also list who the writer and the directors of any episode is.
Okay.
And you can do something similar with them that you do with the seasons and figure out how many points they get per episode.
Okay.
the problem with this, one thing, like, all of this is really super fuzzy math to start with, and I feel really...
Oh, absolutely.
I feel a little weird trying to apply that to, like, actual people on their actual jobs.
Right, yeah.
And the other thing is the amount of data. Like if you're doing actual real statistics, the, like, bare minimum you need for a data set is 40 data points.
Okay.
So, like, you have to have a whole bunch of them, and that hasn't happened as far as, like, writing and directing. There's only one person in these four seasons who has done something more than 40 times.
Yeah.
And that's Judd Lynn as the writer.
Yeah, he did, like, almost every episode this season.
He has been a writer 84 times in these four seasons.
Yeah, that tracks. Wow. Because he's the head writer, and you know how, like, I mean, the production schedule was so crazy. I don't imagine there were a ton of writers, and also, Saban doesn't want to pay that many people. It's just, you do it, Judd. So.
Yeah, this season was a little different. One thing that I would say that was really interesting. So there were 22 directors and 24 writers, or a team of writers. So, like, Buzz Aldrin and Charlotte Fullerton wrote every single episode together, so they count as, like, one unit of writer.
Right, yeah.
Only 10 directors worked on 10 or more episodes. So, like, slightly less than half of the 22 directors worked on more than 10 episodes. And for the 27 writers, only 4 of them worked on more than 10 episodes.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense too, because, like, I feel like we can name the directors that did the most. There's you know, there's Worth Keeter, there's
Ryuta Sasaki.
Ryuta Sasaki. I don't know if Koichi Sakamoto would make that.
I believe this season he did. Let me.
He might. Yeah.
In my Excel document, I have this table. I just haven't put it on the
I don't know. I don't know if it's just for this season, but I know Bob Radler, your rad dad, did a lot. I don't know if that was before. I think he did a lot in Zio and maybe a little bit in Turbo, but I don't remember him doing a ton after that.
Yeah, no, I think you guys just mentioned the top season. 5.
Yeah, it's just the ones that we've said so many times that their names have stuck. So makes
a
lot of sense.
I forgot about my rad dad.
How could you forget about your rad dad? I mean, he's no Big Bronze dad, but he's still our rad dad.
Who is?
Judd Lynn was the other person in the top 5 that's done. So Koichi Sakamoto has done 14 episodes, and the other 4 guys have done more than 14.
Yeah, that tracks, because it's just like the names that we've said so frequently that we either gave them nicknames or they have just imprinted on my brain. Yeah.
So even then, like, they still haven't done enough to me to feel comfortable to start giving, like, a score of, like, how vaguely well they've done. But maybe someday in the future.
Well, it's going to get weird soon, because I think Koichi Sakamoto directed, like, most of the episodes of Time Force, because they got, like, the production got just kind of weird. In the towards the end of the first Saban era, so kind of excited to see how that. We have someone tracking it for us now, so we don't need to keep track of it ourselves. It's great.
Yeah, I don't think there is any new writer or director for Lightspeed Rescue.
Yeah, that tracks. I would definitely believe that. Anything else for the categories? Are we ready to move on to characters and see where these kids stack up?
Ready to do Ranger ranking. I will do a quick detour that is relevant.
Okay.
I have changed the way that I calculate the scores.
Okay.
So the way it worked before was they only got a point if it fell into the Ranger category.
Okay.
And what I have done going forward, and then I retroactively have updated the database, is that they also get included for interactions.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Did anybody change drastically from adding that?
So like we said before, like, besides Zio, all the others only had 3 interactions, so there wasn't a huge movement.
Not a lot to do, okay.
But so Zio has a lot more shifting and changing with those 13 interactions. Rocky and Jason are no longer tied. Jason has taken 3rd place by himself, and Rocky is in 4th, which goes along with the analysis that I gave, like, for that season.
Yeah.
I would be curious to see where Rocky falls if you factor in seasons 2 and 3, though.
Low.
Because he's ranked on Zio, which is the good Rocky.
The best Rocky, yeah. Oh. Yeah, season 2 Rocky, and I apologize, Latasha, is the worst.
And I do want to say that if we include interactions, then that means both Tanya and Adam get 6 more points.
Yeah, tandem watch.
Yeah, that was a lot of it. Tanya had a lot of relationship stuff. So part of it was with Adam. I think she also had at least 1, maybe 2 with Bulk. But what that does for her is that means she...
Oh, and Zio, I think.
She moves ahead of Billy, and Billy was the only ranger who didn't have an interaction that season.
Okay.
But the big thing, like, the whole reason that I finally decided, like, oh, yeah, this makes sense to, like, implement this change, was Adam getting 6 more points.
Okay.
So if you include all the relationship stuff with Adam...
No. Benny?
Say it, Benny.
Don't say it.
He goes to 25 points. But because of Kat's relationship with Tommy, she also gets another point, and they are both tied for 20.
Oh my God!
They are tied for 25 points, which is the highest of anybody, beating out Astronomo by 1 point.
God.
Nice.
That is, I can't
believe.
You know
what this means?
If we have to fight to the death.
Kat and Adam have to spar.
Well, that's not fair. They should have to do something very brave, because then Kat would win.
They'll do 2 things. They'll spar, and they'll dive contest. Whatever.
Here's
that
the thing.
Would be.
Here's the problem with them being tied, is that on a long enough timeline, Adam's going to win, because there's no way that we are not ranking Adam the best in the episode of Operation Overdrive that he's in. So he's automatically getting more points, and Kat never shows up again.
Yeah.
Well, she might in the new Ninja Steel.
That's true.
There is a rumor that she might show up as part of the 25th anniversary.
Yeah, to just like really confirm the Tommy Kat.
Yeah, which
theory.
Is just unnecessary at this point.
I know you guys don't watch Hyperforce, or I think you guys don't watch Hyperforce.
I would love to watch Hyperforce. It looks so charming, but I don't have the time to dedicate to watching Hyperforce.
Yeah, it's 2.5 to 3 hours long, but JDF was on it, and he threw a little bit of pink shade. It was actually really funny.
Yeah. Is he a Tomberly fan more than
the comment that he made was just a general anti-pink statement. I think it was clearly supposed to be about Kimberly, but like it was just this throwaway joke line like towards the very end of the episode, but it was really funny to me.
I'll have to find that and check that out, because I'm curious as to what he said. I know him and Amy Jo have been doing like a bunch of appearances together on the con.
He probably
circuit.
Just did it as a goof on her specifically.
Oh, yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Oh yeah. Like he was really uncomfortable at the start of that episode, because I don't think he's really done any role playing before.
I cannot imagine trying to explain how to role play. You're acting, but you don't do anything else. Okay, I don't kick anything. What do you mean?
There was also that time. This is the same guy who one time wished David Yost a happy like 60 something birthday, or like 50 something birthday on a random day that was not anywhere near his birthday.
But I will say, by the end of that episode, he was really into character, and he was really jiving with like the Hyperforce Rangers, who are just bat putty crazy like Rangers.
Yeah, they seem like they are having so much fun, and Peter Sudarsu is like just the most charming guy. Like he seems like the best dude. When I was like, "What is Hyperforce? Why is everyone telling me about it? Why should I be excited about this?" He answered and was like, "Oh, it's this. Here it is." And I was like, oh, "I feel bad for." Kind of sounded pissy about it. Sorry.
Yeah, no, he's great. So yeah, interactions are important to Power Rangers. So So going forward, the points will include interaction stuff, and the database is updated to reflect that.
Well, at least for the next several years, the best ranger is a tie between our two favorite rangers.
That's true.
Yeah, I kind of liked the results we ended up with.
Yeah.
Okay, so that gets us into the actual Ranger rankings.
Yes.
So if you're not familiar with this, the way that works is if somebody gets mentioned for a best, they get 1 point. a worst gets them -1 point, and MVP gets them 2 points.
Everything makes sense so far.
I have gotten to the point where I am tracking other characters in order to compare our Rangers to other people, but only the Rangers actually get a rank.
Okay.
And actually, two new things that go along with that is that I have taken the monsters of the week and the one-off characters and created an amalgamated score for them.
Okay.
And so we end up with a score for all of the monsters of the week for a season, and all of the one-off characters is two separate like points for them.
Okay, I see. So there's there is a one-off character ranking and a monster. Okay, yeah. I see.
And then because I'm obsessive, I went back to the previous seasons and figured out what their scores were. Neither of them are super high ranking, or at least not high points. I don't remember the exact numbers that Rangers got to compare it to the rankings, but In Space had the highest. The one-off characters got 9 points. The Monsters of the Week only got 4 points. Zio was below that with 5 points for our one-off characters and -3 points for the Monsters of the Week. And then Turbo, the one-off characters got 0 points, and the Monsters of the Week got -6.
Yeah. Yep. No, that tracked. There was a lot of bad monsters in Turbo. Yep.
Which makes -6 technically our newest lowest ranking for any character.
Below Trey?
Yeah, because
Trey counts as a monster, I think.
Because Trey in actuality had, -3, I think?
Well, then you gotta multiply that by 3 anyway. So.
Yeah, fuzzy math, he's still winning. -12 points or whatever it was. I don't remember now.
So what he gets for being a bag of farts. He's the worst. He's so bad.
So when I go through the rankings, I'll mention the Monsters of the Week and the one-off characters as well. Okay. And going very quickly through this little bit, Furio, Scorpius, and Alpha all got a single worst. Bulk got a single best, and Zika got an MVP for 2 points. Just they all got a single entry, so I'm just kind of mentioning them and going on.
Okay, sure.
All right, so getting into the actual rankings. This season, we have 9 Rangers, 3 support characters, and 5 villains for comparison.
Okay. Right,
before we get to any Rangers, we start with Deviant with -3.
Okay, yes. That seems right.
Our 9th ranked Ranger is Leo with 0 points.
He's lucky to get out value neutral on that one. He was pretty bad for a good stretch there.
We will come back to that in the analysis. Yeah. with 2 points is Andros, who got an MVP for the episode he was in.
Right.
Puts him at 8th. Between our next Ranger with 3 points is both Treacheron and the Monsters of the Week. Okay. Our 7th ranked Ranger with 4 points is the Magna Defender. He shares that spot with Commander Stanton and the Galactabeasts.
Okay. We like the Galactabeasts about as much as Commander Stanton.
That tracks.
Yeah.
And I will say, you guys could not remember Commander Stanton's name this whole season, and you gave him a best really early on, so I had to go and figure out what his name was to put it in the database. So every time you called him Commander, I was like, oh, Stanton, right? Yeah.
At one point, I was legitimately I just said Commander, as if his Christian name was Commander, because I had just given up on remembering what it was originally.
All right, so our 6th rank Ranger with 6 points, funny enough, is Caron.
Okay. That's pretty high for only being in a couple. But I guess she didn't get any. She probably didn't get a lot of worsts to bump her score down.
With just 1 point above her, at 7 points, is our 4th ranked, which is a tie between Kai and Mike.
Kind of amazed Kai is that high.
I am too.
Yeah. Before we get to some more Rangers, with 8 points are our one-off characters. With 10 points is Villamax.
Yes.
Yeah, he did pretty well.
Megan Man Z, he's awesome.
I cannot hear anyone say Mega Man correctly anymore, so thank you for that, by the way.
You're welcome. I said it on an episode of Kingdom Smarts recently, and I don't know what the crossover audience is, because I know a lot of people came in from Shannon being on the podcast and like Kingdom Hearts being the thing, but I just said, oh, he's like the Megan Man character, Guts Man, because that's just how I say Mega Man now. And nobody was like, what's, why did he say Megan Man? They're like, yeah, that's probably just how he says it. That's fine.
Yeah, no, I remember that. Yeah. All right. So our third ranked Ranger is Kendrix with 13 points.
Okay.
That leaves us with Damon and Maya and Trakina.
Okay.
Do you guys want any guesses on where you think somebody ended up in this?
I bet Trakina is the top and Damon and Maya are tied.
I think I have to agree with that. If anything, it would go Trakina, Damon, Maya, but I'm not sure.
Let's see what the numbers
I also
say.
Thought Kai would be one above Leo, maybe, but I, you know, here
All
we
right.
are.
So our second place Ranger is Damon with 16 points. Trakina is 1 point ahead of him. I really wanted these two to end up with the same points because those actors are actually married, and I thought it would be really funny.
Yeah.
Which puts Maya as our number one Ranger this season with 20 points.
That's pretty crazy.
Good for Maya.
Yeah, good job.
Ouch. They didn't let her talk for like 6 episodes. I don't want to say a lot of those are pity bests, but
I guess every time she showed up, she just rocked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jumping down and yeah, for Maya, I think her score is so impressive because she just doesn't talk sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think she was a little bit of a default best for you all, that you guys liked her, so if she at least did something, then she got a point for it.
Yeah, I think that happened with Ashley too, right? Because Ashley won Turbo, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Because like Ashley just like kept being awesome, so, and I was like, Ashley's the best, because like, look at her hair, it's great.
All right, she did an arm bar this episode. Yeah, of course she's the best.
She hip-tossed someone over a balcony. She's the greatest.
Ashley, yeah, in space was Ashley, right? I don't know.
In space is Ashley.
I have been staring at these numbers for so long that I've forgotten. Yeah. She ended up with 19 points that season.
Yeah.
So 20.
So Maya outscored her.
Yeah, Maya outscored her by 1 point.
Dang.
Wait, did she have more?
Now they have to spar.
Episodes.
I'm going to give it to Ashley. She's got...
I think Ashley could beat Maya in a fight.
Probably. She's got some moves.
Wait, I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. Astronema had to be above it. Above
yeah.
Ashley, right?
Astronema yeah. had 24 points. And Lost Galaxy also had 2 more episodes than In Space. So, you know, maybe those mysterious right. 2 right. episodes, Ashley would have gotten another point. Kind of going through Andros's position, good for him. I mean, he was the one who stood out in his episode. Magna Defender, Mike, Kendrix, and Carone all suffer from a lack of episodes and not getting like a full season.
Right.
Kind of guessing, it's too hard for me to guess for Magna Defender on how he would have ended up. Probably if he'd gotten a full season, he would have scored a lot higher.
He picked up. I know he definitely like got better.
Yeah, the problem was once he was Mike, he was only there every like 4th or 5th episode. He never went, he did go away at the end, but there was just times where he just wasn't there and there was no good reason for him to not be there.
Yeah.
I think if Kendrick stuck around the whole time, she'd have been at the top.
Yeah, yeah. My hesitation to say that would be because Carone didn't get a lot of focus episodes after she was introduced. So I don't know how much Kendrix would have gotten to do.
That is true.
I think she could have taken second place, but I don't know if Kendrix would have beaten out Maya.
The only thing that would make me think that maybe she would beat out Maya is that the reason I don't think Carone got a lot of play in her episodes is because she was like kind of just silly putty. Like we have a hole that we need to fill. Don't worry about it. Just put someone there. And that didn't really do great for her. But I think if it would have been Kendrix, who they had the whole time, like I think the dynamic would have been a little different. So she might have eked out Maya on that one. But again, no way to tell.
Yeah, it's impossible to say.
And looking at this information, I think Kai is, and I am starting to see kind of trends with these Power Rangers. I think Kai is the ranger that you think you have certain feelings about, and then the numbers tell us something different.
Okay.
So, like, Cassie you guys like Cassie. She's a good ranger. She just didn't get the points for her seasons. I think Kai is the opposite. That you guys, you guys don't like Kai, but in the episodes that actually focused on him, you respected what he did, and he ended up getting bests for it. And the episodes where he was like bad or boring, there was still something else that was worse than him.
Okay,
yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. There was definitely, I feel like I must have said it like a dozen times, like, yeah, we'll best Kai. Oh, that feels weird, but like I guess we did it enough to like to get him a pretty okay ranking.
Yeah, no, he ended up with most of his points came from being an MVP.
Shocking.
Yeah, looking at it, I would say Damon was the bridesmaid in this.
Oh, yeah. Poor Damon. They screwed Damon. They should have given him so much more to do this season. Instead, they were like, what if we gave it all to Leo?
Yeah, because, oh man, they should have swapped those two. Because Reggie Roll is such a good actor, and he's so genuinely funny that they really dropped the ball with him.
Yeah, Danny Slavin is like a good actor and has like kind of like a charm to him, but like nowhere near what Reggie Roll has. I feel like he would have been a much better Red Ranger.
It was very much when Damon got to do something, like, you know, even if he wasn't the focus of the episode, he could get points for it, for sure.
Yeah.
But now I really, really want to talk about Leo.
Yes, please.
So Leo looks like he just got a big old goose egg, the zero.
That can't be it.
But it's not a goose egg. It is a mythical, like, creation of the universe egg. Like, we crack open this egg and an entire lost galaxy is going to fall out of it.
Oh no. Oh gosh.
So to give a little bit of perspective on this, I think Leo is definitely in the tradition of the not so great Red Rangers, like Tommy for sure. At least as far as the scores go, not an actual like assessment of the Rangers or whatever, but as far as the points go,
yeah.
Tommy and Andros, it was really a battle with like how many bads they would get. And so Tommy finished Zio with 1 point above Leo.
Okay.
And he ended up with 9 entries. So like 9 episodes where he got mentioned for something.
Okay, and that evened out to
one
point.
Okay.
And I will say, when I'm saying entry, if somebody gets both a best and a worst, or they also got an MVP, it still only counts as one entry, just because I didn't have an easy way to track otherwise.
Okay.
So it's 9 episodes that they got mentioned, however many bests or worsts I don't actually have.
Right.
And then also, as a reference point, Astronema ended up with 17 entries.
For 24 points.
Okay. Then we come to Leo. He got 0 points. He had 18 entries.
Yikes! Oh my that God. That is buck wild.
That is the most of any person.
That is so crazy. To end up at value neutral is so wild.
That, and I had to go through and add it up. That was a plus 11 and minus 11.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's absolutely crazy. So that means that, like, between best and MVPs, he got up to 11, and then just worsts alone. So he had 11 worsts just because that's a 1 point each.
Yep.
That's crazy and absolutely makes sense that Leo would be that talked about and still end up at 0.
Yeah.
I think it's that the character of Leo you guys did not like, but the problem was Leo was the Red Ranger.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can go on a crazy rant about this, that the Red Ranger has this tendency to be the spotlight character. They're the ones.
Oh, absolutely.
They always get the battleizer. Leo going into the final episode was sitting at -2 points. And then what happened in the final episode, he was the central character and he ended up with the MVP. Yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense. It's like, because if you look at like Tommy and Anders, like they both like ended up with very low points overall, but they are the focus. But it's just the you know, law of large numbers. Like there's more opportunities on both sides for for everything. So like that absolutely makes sense to be like, Leo is this much in the front and he does this much good and this much bad because he's the Red Ranger. Cause that's, and Power Rangers is like about the Red Ranger mostly, which yeah. sucks. But like,
I think that was more noticeable this season than any we've watched so far though. Yeah. There's a lot of points that we were like, oh, and Leo's here just because he has to be.
Yeah, like this is a Damon episode starring Leo.
Yeah.
I know that like Tommy kind of had that a little bit in Zeo because there's definitely the again, the Monster Mash episode is the Bride of Hackensack, I think was the name of our episode, is like at the end, it's an Adam episode. Mm-hmm. But the very end is footage from the first episode of O-Ranger with O-Red fighting the Drill Monster.
Yeah.
And just Tommy shows up to fight the Drill Monster at the end of Adam's episode. It's like, all right, thanks for showing up, big guy.
And I mean, you guys love the muscle butt suit, so...
Oh, it's the best.
Points there.
It's the absolute greatest.
And then Leo's is the absolute opposite of the muscle so butt bad. Suit.
It is the most 1999-ass muscle butt suit they could have made, and it's terrible.
I watched along this season with you all, and I don't remember that Battleizer. Like, it's completely left my head.
It's just a bunch of metal pieces that he wears.
Yeah, it's like if you took a Ninja Star and painted the center of it green and then made it a jet plane that was also a suit.
It lands on his back, and then it takes off of his back and lands on his head.
It's worth it. It's so bad. He has no upgrade to his abs or butt. What's even the point? What are we even doing here, Power Rangers?
So yeah, that's everything that I've got for this.
That's crazy to look at the math of this podcast that we do as a joke. I would be very interested to like give your findings to like a psychologist and be like, what's up with them? How are they doing? Is everything okay?
Are we all right?
Are we good?
Well, there's a database that people can go into and try to figure stuff out for. I definitely get called out a lot, especially online, for like, why are you taking this thing so seriously? And that's how I have fun, is to overanalyze and overthink these fandoms and this entertainment stuff that I like. So like, this is just right up my alley, and I'm so glad I get to do this and you guys like it so much.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. Do you do this for anything else? Is it just us currently?
Currently just you guys. Like, it's so easy with you guys doing the best, worst, and the MVP. Like, it's easy to give that a number value and then to start playing with those number values. There are a couple other podcasts that I've listened to where I'm like, oh, I wonder what could I do if I did, like, a Morphin Grid by the Style number thing. And this has been the easiest one so far.
Well, you're welcome then, I guess.
I'm glad we started doing it that way.
Yeah. That would be the other tricky thing about doing the first three seasons is we didn't do best, worst, or MVP for those.
Right.
Yeah. So you could probably rank the episodes, but I don't know if you could do much more.
Yeah. Again, like you said earlier, we'd have to go back and watch them again. And there's 200 almost. There's like at least 150 of I want to say 180.
Wait, database will tell us. Let me.
I'm trying to think of them.
The first episode of Zeo is episode 156 of this podcast.
56, yeah, okay. So yeah, so there's the 155 other episodes that we'd have to go through again, and that's going to cost you if you want us to rank them like that. I would love to have the time on our hands to be able to like go back and start ranking the episodes in a master list. Like, if we would have started this at the beginning, can you imagine how hard it would be being like, all right, where does Loyax rank against King for a Day? Oh, there's also 300 other episodes around that that we need to figure out where we go.
Does Loyax begin to touch Green with Evil or no?
Yeah, because like my favorite episode is King for a Day Part 2 because of Cat. My favorite episode might be the body swap episode from the first season, just because it is the funnest episode to me. But like, it's hard to tell because I haven't watched any of those episodes in years. But like, that's because I was thinking, like, for next season, like, do we just keep adding to this list? And the answer is no, we are starting over.
No, yeah, I think we rank them within the season. Doing too much more than that would be too much.
I mean, I don't remember. If I look at this list, I will not remember 85% of the episodes, you know,
that happened before we were done.
But there was a point towards the end of it, when you were getting like back into some of the lower episodes and you couldn't remember why something was at some spot.
Yeah.
That I just...
Denied Defender episode. I don't know why it's that low.
and I think that's one of the episodes where the ranking and the score don't match up.
Yeah. it's just so unremarkable that it keeps falling down. But like, can you imagine next year being like, all right, this episode of Lightspeed Rescue, where does that, is that better than Double Duty? Does it go above the Double Duty line? Like, no, there's no way us two idiots are going to be able to remember that. So yeah, next year's going to be a new list, start from scratch, but we will start from the beginning at least, and we'll have to retroactively rank six episodes.
I appreciate that, because I have to go through manually and update the ranking list because I haven't figured out a way to do it automatically.
Yeah.
So... Yeah,
I imagine that would be tricky in a spreadsheet. I don't know how Excel works. You know, too deep into it, past the basics. So.
I can type in the cells. That's all I can do in there.
I can merge them. I can give them a border. That's really mostly aesthetics,
though. I can change the colors and stuff.
Yeah. No, doing this project, I had to learn how to set it up so that it counts the number of times that the word story shows up in this column, in this separate in the separate sheet over here, that's where the value shows up. And yeah, this actually made me get better at using Excel documents.
What a weird way to learn a new skill.
And also, you're welcome.
Yeah, again, you're welcome. I guess if you need to put this on a resume, I think it counts now. I think you put in the hours.
I actually mentioned it in an interview that I had, that I was working on this Excel document for this stupid, like, fun project.
Well, we're here for references if you need us.
Absolutely.
Anything that you have learned, do you have any, like, insights about the podcast in general that you have learned through this? Like by ranking and putting numbers to everything. Is there anything like about the show The Morphin Grid that sticks out? I don't know if that's an answerable question. I just kind of let it fall out of my mouth.
I think looking at the categories, you definitely get a little bit of the personality of what you guys value. I think this is a great way to start, like, creating an episode guide, or like, you know, you guys were talking about going through and listing ranks and stuff, but like,
yeah,
looking at what you guys have already done, you could create like the Morphin Grid's guide to the Power Rangers, and going through and saying like, these are the episodes you have to watch, and these are the episodes that are so bad but you should probably still see them, and like,
yeah,
it's definitely, there is a guide here within all of this data for as far as like Power Rangers and like what to lean towards and lean away from, even though it is still very much your opinions that this data was based off of, like,
right,
I still agree with most of it.
Well, that's good.
We try to be, like, unbiased about it, I think. I don't think we do.
Maybe, we try.
I mean, we try to watch
sometimes.
And be like, this is technically good. I think production-wise, technically, this is a cool thing they did.
I think one of our strengths is that we are very willing to be like, all right, last episode was bad and this thing is bad, but, like, here's the good part of it, and, like, that episode doesn't necessarily affect this one. So, like, even if we're like, oh, these episodes are really bad, when there's a good one, we're like, hell yeah, this episode's great. If we did do a guide, we'd also have to be like, all right, these episodes are bad, but you need to watch them because the good episodes make more sense with the bad episodes. Like, you just need a couple bad episodes in there to really appreciate how good Loyax is.
Yeah, I will say, going through this database constantly has made me so much more familiar with episodes and being able to articulate for myself, like, what was good or what was bad. Like, I don't think I really thought very much about Seymour before you guys watched that episode.
He was the worst. The trick going forward is, if there is ever an episode that is the blank episode, that means that it was probably not great.
It's turbo bad.
Because we gave it the turbo naming convention.
Oh, yeah. No, I see that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Lost Galaxy had any of them, but there was two in space because there were two turbo-ass episodes in that season.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Benny, thank you very much for coming on the show and for doing this in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been fun. Has this prompted any other questions or thought about things that you you think maybe could still be like tracked in the database or that you'd want to hear a little bit more about?
I mean, I'm sure there have been times where we have either said on the podcast, like, oh, what, I wonder what this thing would look like stacked up. But again, like, I just dump all my memory files as soon as the episode's out. So, and also I don't really like, I don't know, I don't think about the show that way. So like, it's good that you do. Cause then, cause if we already did this, if we were like, here's all the math, like, then it wouldn't be as like exciting for us when someone's like, here's this weird math that you guys create. So I don't know. I don't think I have anything
on the spot. On the spot, I can't really think of anything else that I would be curious about.
Yeah, I do like that. There have been points where you like you adjust how you rank things because like it. I like that you're not like this is how it started, so I have to keep with this. It's like no, the numbers work better if I do this, and so you're willing to like completely readjust because I feel like there's gonna be times in the future where like that's gonna come up more because of. Like, the show's going to get weird now because there's no, like, I have seen one season in the next 15 seasons.
Yeah, and I have no prior attachment to any of the Rangers coming up, so.
Yeah, so, like, it's going to be real weird. So it's good that you're, like, adaptable because that's the show is ever-changing.
Yeah, I think every single season I have made some major tweak to the database, and I'm really hoping we get to the point where I don't have to do that because it means going back to every previous season readjusting. And we're getting to the point where that's a little bit more of a task than it was when I only had like two seasons. Yeah.
156 is when Zio started. So yeah, you're sitting on close to 200 episodes almost.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a lot to have to be like, all right, well, like now I have this new ranking thing that I got to deal with. Let me go back and do all that. That's when I would stop the database, is if I had to change 150 of anything. So, yeah, thank you very much for coming on. Is there anywhere people can find you on the internet if you wish to be found?
You can find me on Twitter, at BenActive. That's B-E-N-N, active. Oh, and can I do a shout-out to another podcast?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So I want to give a shout-out to Ranger Pride, because that's the podcast that introduced me to the Morphin Grid.
Oh, did we get, like... Did they talk about us, or did they? How did that happen?
so yeah, it's Spike and Shane. They do something a little bit similar. They don't go episode by episode, and they've actually just come back from a long hiatus and readjusted their format. But they're a Power Ranger talk episode or podcast, and Shane mentioned you guys doing this a couple of times, and I think. It was when he said you guys had just finished Turbo was when I was like, okay, let's go and see what this podcast is that he's talked about a couple of times.
Oh, that's awesome.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about Ranger Pride. I just haven't checked it out because I don't like to consume a lot of other Power Rangers because, number one, we do the show a lot. So I'm good on Power Rangers content. And then also I don't want anything like, you know, bleeding over. I also had to stop listening to Ranger Danger because I was like, I don't want to just accidentally parrot all of their very good jokes. So I need to, but yeah, absolutely. If anyone hasn't listened to that, is it just Ranger Pride on, is that just like the name of the podcast? So if they just like Google it on iTunes, that'll come up.
You can find them on Twitter at Ranger Pride Cast.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Everybody, go check them out. They sound like pretty great, people. That is going to do it. We didn't do any of the, where you can find us. You guys know that already. It's in the description. You can find it if you want. So we will see you. I think next week we're going to be ranking the suits probably.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Very excited about that. Because I found out that I love the Mystic Force theme song from the last time we ranked stuff. So pretty excited.
That's the George Lucas, right? Right.
It's the rap. It's the only rap.
It's not the super duper bad one. Oh god, we're gonna have to watch that.
We can skip the intro, right?
I don't
know. When we get to Operation Overdrive, we watch it once and we can skip it.
Honestly, I think I might just make us sit through it just to test us. I don't know. We're gonna need something that'll deepen the game.
Hey, come Operation Overdrive, everybody. Jake is looking for a new co-host for the Morphin Grid.
That will be the fall, winter of 2021.
Do you have...
Oh, I'm locked into this for three more years.
Benny, look me in the eye. Do you have a list of when we are going to be talking about each season?
Yes. I also have a list of things that drives you crazy. I like to collect information.
Oh. Benny, what drives me crazy?
Oh, no. I have a list of things for Jake. I don't have a list for you.
Oh, just me.
Okay. I probably don't mention it enough.
One of us is the louder one, and I think it's easy to figure out who wears his heart on his sleeve a little more.
Yeah, no, the only thing I know that you hate is the, if you're new here.
That's more for the gag.
Can say that, but you know that you hate it. Oh, boy. That's good information to know now, Benny, that you have been stockpiling weaponry against me.
Do you want to know how many weeks of podcasting you still have before you catch up?
Yes.
Weeks? Yes.
So, this doesn't count the hiatuses or the breaks that happen, but it's going to be somewhere around 342 weeks.
Okay.
That's, we can do that.
Yeah, that's this again. Well, and then some.
So it's about two episodes every week, but it just kind of depends on which season.
Yeah. Right. Oh, boy.
So we're almost halfway
there. Yeah. I mean, I can tell you how many weeks different seasons are. I'm really sad that one of my favorites, Jungle Fury, is going to be the shortest season of the Morphin Grid.
Really? Is it like
a lot of multi-parters, huh?
There's no multi-parters, and it's only 32 episodes.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be a short one. In and out real quick.
Yep. So like all of the other 32 episode seasons in the Disney era has some point where you're going to have to like push things down because of multi-parters. Right.
Because of this weird rule we created two or three weeks in, whenever
Green with Evil.
When Green with Evil showed up, we're like, all five episodes this week. And then we had to record them all. And we did, this is going deep in the archives. We recorded the first one on a Saturday. And we were going to record three that night and two the next morning. And then it started thundering very bad. So we had to do four the next day. So by the end of it, we like have no voices. We're very tired. Yeah. It's like a 20-minute
episode.
That's
why that last episode is so like, they do the thing and it's over. Like, that's
like,
it.
Come on, you know what Green with Evil is about. You've seen the show. Anyway, that's enough, I guess, existential crises for me. So,
I enjoyed it. It's very interesting to see how the numbers stack up of, I guess, the math of our opinions.
Yeah. It's never something I gave a concrete weight to, but I guess it... There are values you can assign to us going like, I think in my favorite episode of the season, Stolen Beauty, like Amy Weber is just super duper hot. Like, and that has a point value now. So, yeah, awesome. Well, we will see you on next Monday for us ranking all the suits. But until then,
may the power protect you. Yes, let me double check their Twitter.
Okay.
I like knew I was going to do this and still completely forgot to check it.
Yeah, hey, you fit right in.